Boys Will Be Boys. William, much against his will, had been sent to stay with his Aunt Florence.
"I shall be very busy while you're here, William," she said. "I hope you'll be able to entertain yourself."
"Oh, yes," said William. "Oh, yes, I'll be able to entertain myself, all right." The next morning he sallied forth to inspect the neighbourhood. It was a very small village. Its chief interest, and almost its only topic of conversation, was the flower show that was to be held at the end of the month, and that mainly because of the rivalry of two old men. Of late, their rivalry had crystallised into a furious contest for supremacy in hothouse peaches and asparagus. For the last 4 years, Colonel Summers had won the first prize for peaches and Mr. Foulard for asparagus, and each longed with all his heart and soul to beat the other in his speciality. This year, each had inwardly vowed to win the first prize for both. All this William gathered in a stroll round the village. One afternoon he ran violently into a man just entering a pair of impressive iron gates. He found himself looking up into the yellow moustached face of Colonel Summers.
"Well, well, well," said Colonel Summers. "I don't think I know your face, do I?"
No, said William, scrambling to his feet. "I've come to stay with my aunt."
"Well, well," said the Colonel. "You'd better come in and have a brush down. You can't go back to your aunt in that state."
Nothing loath, William accompanied the tall figure up the drive and into the big white house at the end. The Colonel took a clothes brush from the hat stand and gave William a perfunctory brush down, then led him into a room hung round with various Eastern weapons.
"I dare say you'll be interested in these, my boy," he said,
and proceeded to describe them in detail with many somewhat lengthy anecdotes. William was a most satisfactory audience. He listened open-mouthed. He examined the weapons with eager delight. He was particularly interested in some Burmese knives in painted leather sheaths.
"Perhaps I'll give you one of those before you go," said Colonel Summers.
He was in high good humour. It was years since he had told those stories, except to the accompaniment of strangled yawns. William was a godsend to him.
"Look in again sometime," he said genially as he saw him off, and pointed out a short cut through the kitchen garden. "And don't forget, I may give you one of those knives before you go. Shut the gate after you."
On his way to the gate, William passed a large hothouse where the famous peaches were ripening. In the road, he cannoned into someone else. William became aware of the red, angry face of Mr. Foulard just above his own.
"I hope that'll teach you to look where you're going," he was saying, as he administered a number of cuffs. "Disgraceful, charging into people like that, young ruffian."
Then he strutted angrily in at a gate that bore the inscription, "Uplands." The next morning, William called on Colonel Summers again, and the next, and the next. William wanted the Burmese knife, and he shrewdly judged that he was expected to earn it by providing Colonel Summers with an audience. One morning, his footsteps lingered as he passed the hothouse. Today, the door was open and the gardener absent. William looked round. The temptation to go in and examine the peaches at closer quarters was irresistible. He went in. He wouldn't dream of eating any. He stroked one softly. At least, he meant to stroke it softly, but to his consternation, the stalk snapped and the peach fell onto the ground. He gazed at it, at first dismayed, then interested. Well, he might as well eat it. He sank his teeth into the soft flesh. It was jolly good. He'd never had anything quite so good. He looked at the massed peaches all around him. They'd never miss just one more. Actually, he thought there were far too many. It'd be a kindness to thin these peaches a bit. The best ones hung high overhead, but a ladder was conveniently set up against the top branch. He climbed up, took a peach and ate it. Took another, and another. Suddenly he heard a loud shout and the sound of running footsteps. He dropped a half-eaten peach and looked round. The gardener and Colonel Summers were running towards the hothouse, their faces livid with fury.
Panic-stricken, William slipped, and the ladder went from under him, crashing through the glass. Instinctively, he grabbed at the nearest bough to save himself. There was a shower of peaches, and the sound of wrenching as the supports gave way, and the whole tree came down. The colonel and his gardener gazed on the scene of destruction, paralysed with horror.
"I don't want to know what happened, William," said his aunt firmly, an hour later. "Colonel Summers rang up to ask for your father's address, and I've given it to him. He sounded quite distraught. He's going to write to your father and make his complaint and demand damages. No, I don't want to hear anything more about it. Colonel Summers is going to write to your father."
William decided to go out for a long walk in the afternoon. Passing the gate of Uplands, he saw Mr. Foulard smiling at him across the road. William stared at him in amazement.
"And how's my young friend?" Mr. Foulard was saying.
William scowled, suspecting mockery or a trap. But Mr. Foulard was taking some coins out of his pocket, was handing them to William, and saying heartily,
"I suppose a little pocket money never comes amiss, unless boys have changed since my time, what?"
Thanks, stammered William, as he took the 2 half-crowns. He couldn't think what had happened since yesterday. What had happened since yesterday was that Mr. Foulard had heard of the destruction of his rival's cherished peach tree and was delighted by the now certain prospect of winning the first prize for both peaches and asparagus.
"Had tea?"
went on Mr. Foulard. William shook his head.
"Come along, then. Come along."
He led William up the short drive and in at the door of the house, beaming down at him.
This boy had done in 10 minutes what he'd been trying in vain to do all these years, knocked out old Summers and his peaches. "Now we'll see about a piece of plum cake, eh?"
he said. It was while William was just finishing a hearty tea that he got his next shock. Hearing voices outside, he looked up and saw a fat boy and his fat mother passing the window.
"Ah, my daughter, my little grandson, Georgie," said Mr. Foulard. "You haven't met him, have you?"
Yes, said William. "Yes, I've met 'em all right. I met 'em this afternoon."
"Splendid, splendid. I'll go and tell 'em you're here."
William had indeed encountered the fat Georgie in the street an hour earlier and had defended himself against Georgie's stone-throwing. William sat staring at the door, a half-eaten piece of plum cake in his hand. Scraps of conversation reached him.
"Not that boy," came in the fat woman's voice. "Not that dreadful boy. The one that wrecked poor Colonel Summers' peaches."
"Oh, boys will be boys," came genially in Mr. Foulard's voice. "Boys will be boys, you know. We mustn't be too hard on them."
"And he threw a stone at Georgie."
"Oh, dear, dear, that's bad. But after all..."
After all, he meant, I shall owe my first prize to him. But George's mother brushed him aside and entered the room, fixing a cold stare on William.
"Good afternoon," she said icily.
"Good afternoon," said William.
"You've finished your tea, haven't you?" said George's mother. "I'm sure it's time you went home."
All right, I'm going."
He scraped the crumbs on his plate carefully together, put them into his mouth, and withdrew. Georgie unscrewed his face into a sly smile. He'd thought of a plan. Chuckling to himself, he slipped out of the French windows. William didn't hurry. He might as well do a little exploring. He wandered off the drive, took a look at the famous asparagus bed, then began to make his way slowly towards the front gate. Suddenly, a handful of mud struck him on the side of the face, filled his mouth and eyes, and ran down his collar. He had a vision of a fleeing figure and leapt to the pursuit. Georgie fled as quickly as he could, hardly knowing where he was going till he reached the asparagus bed. There William caught him up and dealt him a powerful blow on the nose that sent him sprawling among the cherished shoots. Boys in this condition have little sense of property. The two didn't even realise that they were fighting on a prize asparagus bed at all. They plunged and trampled and leapt and wrestled. And by the end of 5 minutes, the battleground was a muddy stew, garnished with a few asparagus stalks. When William reached his aunt's house, it was to find that Mr. Foulard had rung her up to demand his father's address. He was going to write at once to lodge his complaint and demand compensation for his asparagus bed. William decided to go out for a walk once more. He encountered Colonel Summers.
Colonel Summers had only just received the news of the destruction of his rival's asparagus bed.
"My boy, I'm going away till tomorrow. Come in for that knife tomorrow morning. Oh, and about that letter."
Yes, said William.
"Well, on the whole, I've decided not to send it. Boys will be boys. Come for your knife tomorrow."
William was wandering down the road that evening, his heart full of gratitude to Colonel Summers. When, therefore, passing the Colonel's house, he saw a red glow through the trees, he thought it best to go and investigate. He pushed the gate open and went to where he'd seen the glow. It was all right. It was merely the remains of a garden fire. Relieved, he went out and home again, leaving the gate open. The news reached Mr. Foulard just as he was writing the letter to William's father. Colonel Summers's asparagus bed had been turned into a ploughed field overnight. Someone had left the gate open, and 25 cattle had apparently danced the hornpipe on it. There wasn't a vestige of asparagus left. A slow smile spread over his face. Ho, ho, poor old Summers. Peaches and asparagus gone. What a state he'd be in. He saw, in his mind's eye, the published results of the show. Mr. H.B. Foulard, hothouse peaches, first prize. And poor old Summers nowhere. He began slowly to tear up his letter to William's father. Boys will be boys, he said to himself. No need to be too hard on the little blighter. The next morning, William made his way to Colonel Summers's house. The Colonel received William coldly.
The knife? What knife?
The knife you promised me, stammered William.
Oh, I think you must have misunderstood me. You can hardly expect me to give you one now.
Well, I've done all I could to make up, pleaded William.
What have you done?
Well, I came in because I thought there was a fire and I wanted to put it out for you. I didn't know it was only a garden fire when I came in.
Colonel Summers's face turned purple.
So it was you who left the gate open, he said between his teeth.
At that moment the door opened and a housemaid entered with a letter. Colonel Summers took it and read it. It was from the committee of the flower show, saying that owing to war conditions, the show would not be held this year. A slow smile spread over Colonel Summers' features.
Saved! Saved at the 11th hour! He wouldn't get any first prize, but neither would that worm Foulard. Well, 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 he said, smiling down at William. Well, well, what was it you came for? A knife, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, you said you'd...
Of course, said the genial Colonel Summers. Little devil, of course, but so were all boys. Boys will be boys. Poor old Foulard. Poor old Foulard. Yeah, now, you can take your choice, my boy. I'll give you any one of them you like.
It was the evening of William's return. He had gone upstairs to wash after the journey. Mr. and Mrs. Brown were sitting downstairs waiting for him.
"Odd, those letters we had from Florence," said Mr. Brown, "saying that William had done something dreadful, and that I should shortly be receiving appalling bills for damages from a Colonel Summers and a Mr. Foulard."
At this point, William entered. He looked shiningly clean and innocent.
"Well, did you have a nice time at your aunt's?" said Mrs. Brown.
"Yes, thanks," said William.
"Anything interesting happen?" said Mr. Brown.
William considered. "No, nothing really interesting."
"Let me see," said Mr. Brown thoughtfully. "There was a Mr. Foulard there, wasn't there? Did you have anything to do with him?"
"Him? Yes. He gave me 5 shillings and invited me to tea."
"Oh, and what about Colonel Summers?" said Mrs. Brown.
William brought the Burmese knife out of his pocket.
"Yes, he was jolly nice too. He gave me this."
Mr. and Mrs. Brown looked at each other and shrugged helplessly.